just a great privilege again to introduce my pastor and spiritual mentor, Rob Barron. And Rob and I have walked together since like 1997, and you know, that's astonishing to me that that many years has gone by. And Rob has just always, his heart has beat for the Lord and his church to arise. And that's what he comes with today. He comes with just a heart for Christ's church. And I'm just going to pray for him and ask the Lord to speak to us today. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your heart for us. And Lord, I want to ask that today that you would cause your Holy Spirit to fill Rob, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would direct your church. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would take us over today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Really good to see you. How are you doing this morning? Good, I'm seeing nodding heads. That's good. It means there's enough life in us to actually nod our head. That's good. Or it's better than nodding off, though, isn't it? Yeah. I was reminded this morning that the last time I was here preaching was in October of last year. And just at least one thing has happened since then. I went on a trip to Rwanda. And that is a story all in itself. So I'll leave that for another time. I'm really actually excited to share with you the things that the Lord did in his church there in Rwanda. It was a wonderful time. This morning, I'm actually here to continue a series that we've begun. And I consider it an extremely important series of study in the Word of God. If you have a Word of God this morning, just lift it up. If you have a Bible or you have an electronic device that has a Bible on it, those are completely legitimate. Excellent. If you have both, like Brad, that's wonderful. That sets you apart. Yeah. Excellent. You know what? That's really, really important because I've got a bad feeling about what could be in the future. I've got an unsettled feeling about how the church could be in the days to come. I'm not talking about Trinity Baptist. You've got your Bibles and your electronic devices with the Bible on it. I'm talking about the church in general because there's a trend happening. It's a disturbing trend, and that is that people more and more are beginning to leave the Word of God behind or are beginning to set the Word of God aside as they try to go forward in a spiritual journey with the Lord. Just quite simply, that's impossible. It's impossible to move forward in our relationship with our God without His Word open, being fed by it, finding its way into our hearts, because the Word of God is living and active. Amen? It is the inspired Word of God. It's not just another ancient writing that we can refer to. And you know, we don't want to get to a point where we're picking and choosing things out of the Word of God just to prove or to support ideas that we've come up with ourselves. And I believe that there's a pressure on the church to leave the Word of God behind. And that's not only inadvisable, it's dangerous to leave the Word of God behind because there's another trend happening. And that is there's an increasing hunger for an understanding of the Holy Spirit as the third person of the Trinity. And that's a legitimate and a good hunger. The Holy Spirit is important. His ministry in our life is critical and essential to us growing up in our faith. So I see, as these two things are happening, number one, there's pressure to set aside the Word of God. And at the same time, there's an increasing hunger for the Spirit of God. We've got a problem. Because if we set down the Word of God and just begin to, in a sense, write our journey, our spiritual journey, if we begin to write it using just the pen of experience, then we run into problems, because not everything supernatural is good. Not everything that we experience supernaturally is from the kingdom of light. Because the enemy, he's spiritual too. He's the dark lord. He's the ruler of the dominion of darkness. And he is he's a counterfeiter who counterfeits everything, well, especially the good things of God. That's what the enemy does. He doesn't create anything. He just copies things, but with God subtracted from them. So we don't want to be in a situation where we've got supernatural things happening, but we have no discernment about what's going on. Because the enemy is able. We know this from the Word of God, that the enemy is able to create counterfeit signs and wonders, the kind of which could even deceive the elect, meaning people of God, if that were possible. In other words, they'd be really convincing copies. So it's really important that as we journey forward, I think it's important we take on this challenge that the Lord is giving us to get to know the Holy Spirit better. At the same time, we cannot go on this journey without the Word of God, held tight, held close, guarded, kept in our hearts, opened often, so that we can be grounded in the Word of God as we move forward in the Spirit. Amen. So we've been doing a series where the series is a solution. That is, well, let's set aside all of our simply experiential ideas of what it looks like to encounter the Holy Spirit. It's crazy. The church has developed all kinds of doctrines about what it looks like to encounter the Holy Spirit. It's got to look like this. It's got to look like that. It's got to look like that. It doesn't look like that. And it's not based on the Word of God. It's just based on experience. And like we've already said, experience all by itself doesn't mean it's all good. It's all something, maybe all mixed up, but it's the Word of God that divides. It's the Word of God that helps us discern. So in this series, we're just sort of going, okay, well, whatever has been said about what it means to be to encounter the Holy Spirit, fine. Let's take a look at what the Word of God says it's like. And in a sense, begin there. Begin again. And look at what the Bible says an encounter with the Holy Spirit is like. And we've started this journey already. And biblically speaking, all I've been doing is I picked out four occasions or four occurrences where people have encountered the Holy Spirit in the Bible and kind of what that looks like. The first one is that an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a baptism. And an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a filling. And an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a takeover. And an encounter with the Holy Spirit is an outfitting. So we've just started with these four words. Help me out. The first one is a baptism, a filling, a takeover, and an outfitting. Those four things. And we've gotten through two of them already, where we looked at an encounter with the Holy Spirit being a baptism, and the Greek word there is vaptizo. Why don't you say it? Vaptizo. Good. That's good. You sounded really Greek there. which just means to be immersed, to be taken under into something. And Matthew 3:11 was our scripture there, where John the Baptist says this: I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And when John says this, the context is repentance. The context is baptism. And what John is saying is, you know, I've got water, and you go under the water because you've been convicted of your sins, and that represents cleansing of your sins, and then you're going to go on and you're going to wait for the Lord to help you live. Well, now the Lord has come, and he baptizes us not with water, but with the Holy Spirit and with fire, so that we are convicted of our sin. We come in repentance. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, and we receive a cleansing that's from the inside out, a cleansing by fire, so to speak, which is from the inside out, profound and deep. And not only that, the Holy Spirit walks us right through that cleansing process, understanding the forgiveness of God. But even that's not all it is. It's not like the Holy Spirit goes, okay, well, now go and don't sin anymore. He helps us to change. He helps us to transform. He helps us to go and sin no more, because we can't on our own strength. We talked about New Year's resolutions and stuff. People all laugh about that because we know in our own strength we can't do a whole lot of anything. But the Holy Spirit takes us right through this whole process of repentance, all the way out to grace to live differently, power to live differently. Amen? So, if you're looking to encounter the Holy Spirit, see, we have to watch out, because there are days, we're in days when there's almost a frivolous idea of what it means to encounter the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm just going to come and get blasted by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I was soaking in the Holy Spirit. I was out. Oh boy, that was so good. I think I'm going to come back tomorrow. What a great feeling. That's not it at all. An encounter with the Holy Spirit is something profound. And it may be that when you come to get blasted by the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak to you about your sin. And we don't fall down, we kneel down. And it's all happening very clearly and very consciously, and we get told exactly by the Lord what it is we need to change and what it is we need to do. And we become broken in our sin. And the Lord takes us through this process of God's forgiveness and cleansing and grace to go on differently. That's not frivolous at all. But that's what an encounter with the Holy Spirit can be. And you know what? We need that. We tend to accumulate sin. But it's so important to keep coming back to God and confessing our sin, receiving forgiveness, receiving cleansing, receiving grace to go on. That's a baptism. That's one of the ways that the Holy Spirit comes to us. It is profound and it's supernatural. It is not frivolous at all. Amen? We also looked at at an encounter with the Holy Spirit as a filling. And the Greek word there is pletho. Why don't you say it? Pletho. That's where we get our word plethora, an abundance, a complete abundance. And the Bible talks about people being filled with the Holy Spirit. A scripture that we looked at was Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. By the way, that's not Pentecost. That's not what happened in the upper room. That's later. They were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit when it was time to preach. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit when it was time for them all to preach. And when you start looking at it, you see that Elizabeth and Zechariah and Paul, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit to prophesy. At Pentecost, the church was filled with the Holy Spirit and manifested the gift of tongues. Peter and then the whole church filled with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel boldly. Sometimes when we encounter the Holy Spirit, He fills us. And it's not just for us. All of those things are for the common good, to prophesy or to preach the word of God boldly or whatever. We consistently need the Holy Spirit to fill us with His character and His nature to meet the challenges of life. Sometimes that's what will happen when you encounter the Holy Spirit, biblically. So an encounter with the Holy Spirit is a baptism. An encounter with the Holy Spirit is a filling. And we're going to look at the third one today of four, encountering the Holy Spirit, a takeover. So let's get to our Bibles and take a look at Luke chapter 1 and looking to read verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38. Luke 1, 26 to 38. Okay, we're going to have one of the saints in the body of Christ here read this passage. So I'll hold the mic for you. Go for it.
In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, here we have a word. When the angel says, when Mary says, like, "How can this be? How is this going to happen?" The angel says something about the Holy Spirit in verse 35. It says, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." We've seen the Holy Spirit doing a baptizo. We've seen the Holy Spirit doing a pletho. This is the Holy Spirit doing a hypercome. Why don't you say it? Hypercome. It's the Holy Spirit doing a hypercome. It's actually a compound word in Greek, hyper, where we get our word hyper. And hyper means like over the top, over. So, hyper chome. Chome just means to come, to approach. So it's the Holy Spirit approaching over, coming over. From the Holy Spirit's side, that would be coming over. Brad, for example, the Holy Spirit came upon Brad. For Brad, he would be, if this is coming over, Brad would be overcome, right? Or the Holy Spirit overtaking Brad. And from Brad's perspective, it would be a takeover. And this is our third thing that can happen when we encounter the Holy Spirit, a takeover where he takes over. And here we have Mary receiving this word from the angel about a takeover that's going to happen to her. And I'm going to say right at the outset that the angel wasn't just talking about how she would end up coming away with a life growing inside her that was set up supernaturally. That's not just what that's about. It's actually about way more than that. The takeover was her whole life. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Also, this idea of the Holy Spirit coming and a takeover happening, it wasn't just reserved to Mary and to this situation of her going to bear the Son of God. In Acts 1:8, Jesus uses this term for the Holy Spirit and what he's going to do with his disciples. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Same word, hypercome. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So this hypercome, this takeover that the Holy Spirit does, we're not just talking about the incarnation. We're talking about something the Holy Spirit does with people, a takeover. So I just want to take a little bit of time and talk about what this kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit looks like. I've experienced it. And I like, as soon as you say I have experienced it, you're saying two other things. You're saying I am experiencing it and I will experience it. That's what a takeover is like. It's not temporary. And I'll get there as well. So encountering the Holy Spirit, a takeover. It's not a passing experience. And I guess this is the point I'm trying to get across. I love the fact that the church is coming into a knowledge of the Holy Spirit and who he is as the third person of the Trinity. I love that because the church can't function without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need him. We need to experience him. We need to encounter him. But we cannot do it without understanding his ministry. What has he come to do for the church? And there are many interesting things that happen as we encounter the Holy Spirit. We know this. People can fall down. People can cry out. People can weep. People can laugh. People can shake. We've seen all kinds of things, and I've experienced a number of those things as well. But that's not what it's all about. That's not what it's for. It's not for us alone. It's not to provide us with a cool feeling. It's not to just give us the shakes or the jitters. It's not to provide the same kind of feeling going up and down a roller coaster does. It's not what it's for. And it's really important that the church gets a clear idea so that we know when we encounter the Holy Spirit, we know what to expect. Amen? Are you tracking? Good? Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Any idea what the popping is? Is that like me or? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be the battery. Okay. So I want to make some observations about what a Holy Spirit takeover. Like, you know, you talk about a makeover. Like a makeover is for us. Makes you feel good, makes you look good and everything. Holy Spirit takeover is something totally different. So we're looking at an extreme takeover. Not an extreme makeover. And I'm going to make three observations from this. I mean, Mary is our example of someone who experienced a Holy Spirit takeover. So it helps us to understand what kinds of things we can expect as we study this story. So I'm going to come up with three observations, and then we'll review at the end. And what I want to do, you can see I don't have a PowerPoint. The nice people at the back are showing the Word of God there on the screen. I don't have a PowerPoint, but I do have a human PowerPoint, like in the room here. And I'm going to ask for people to hold on to each of these 3 points. And at the end, I'm going to ask the people who are holding the points to do the review. In other words, that one would give the 1 point that I made and then maybe about a minute of explanation. Okay? So I'm going to get 3 people in the room to hold the points for me so that we can do the review with that. And I'm going to put a little age restriction on it. I only want people who are under 20 to be the point holders. Sorry about that. So, have I got any volunteers for people to hold the point? Thank you very much, Nathan. Any other volunteers? You can stay down there, Nathan. Just stay down. There you go. As soon as you need to remember something. Sam, you're volunteering? Okay, there's 2. Now, there's more than 2 people under 20 in the room. Come on, just looking for the 3rd one. Come on. Got 2. We have Nathan. Nathan was first. And we've got Sam. Oh. No, the one in the light there, you? No, the one who put up her hand. Right, you. Excellent. Thank you so much. Oh, you're over 20. Okay, well, don't volunteer people because it can get you in trouble. Okay, let's just come on. I'm actually just going to stand here until we do get 3. Yeah. Yeah. No, sorry. I think we can do this. My point is there's young people in the room and they belong to the body of Christ in here. They're not also rans. They are in and integrated. We just got to treat them like that. Okay, got 2. Got Nathan and Sam. Well, I used to teach high school, and I can be really stubborn. And I remember when I would teach and I'd ask for volunteers and there'd be 1 left, I would just pick somebody. But I'd rather not if I don't have to. It's just I'd like to get to the soup when everybody else does near noon. So come on. Under 20, and please be the next person or the last one before we can move on. I can't believe this. I can't believe this, actually. Young people do go to school, so they do group work and all kinds of presentations and everything all the time. Okay, well, I do have to move on, sorry. So, Hillary, I'm going to pick you. Well, what does she do all day? There's school, I think, maybe even at home or something. Okay. So let's just move on then. Encountering the Holy Spirit, a takeover. The first point I want to make, and Nathan, I'd like you to hold this one, is a Holy Spirit takeover is a profound blessing. A Holy Spirit takeover is a profound blessing. We've got Gabriel, the angel, saying to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And he also says, do not be afraid. And I just feel like that's a word from the Lord for people who are looking at Holy Spirit things and experiencing fear. It's actually a blessing to experience an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I know that all kinds of, you know, you might see all kinds of weird things or whatever. It might inspire fear. But the truth is, from God's perspective, it is a blessing to encounter the Holy Spirit. It's not something to avoid. It's not something to run from. It's not something to just judge and toss aside. It's not something to say, oh, well, there's so much that is freaky there that I don't want any part of it. We need to see that God's perspective is it's a blessing. This angel came to tell Mary that she would have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and it would take over her entire life. And that she would walk away from that encounter supernaturally charged with a life inside her that only happens supernaturally. And it was a blessing. The angel comes with a greeting and says that she's blessed. She's highly favored. He says, the Lord is with you. And I want to speak that. It's a blessing to encounter the Holy Spirit. We've got to believe it as the church. It's not a blessing on our terms, especially when I'm talking about a takeover, but it's a profound blessing. And I want to explain in what way it's a profound blessing. It's a profound blessing because when the Holy Spirit comes to take over our lives, he's giving us a place in God's incredible plan. He's giving us not a front row seat to what he's doing. He's giving us a place in God's plan. Not that front row seat, but we're on the stage. We're right there, right in the middle of all the great things that God is doing. It's a profound privilege. And God picked Mary to be standing on the stage and to participate in a profound way in a far bigger plan. As the angel is explaining this to her, he says, you'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary might have been wondering, like, what about me? You're just saying that I'm going to have a baby? And then the angel goes off and prophesies about who this baby is and how great this baby will be. And Mary, she was humble so she could take it, realized that this takeover wasn't about her. It was ultimately about the plans and the purposes of God to bring glory to God. And brothers and sisters, if you encounter the Holy Spirit, and he begins to take over your life, make sure you realize in advance that it's not about you. The place that we have on God's stage isn't so that we can be famous. The place that God gives us on his stage is so that his story can be told with our participation. And it's a profound privilege and a blessing. So, a takeover, a Holy Spirit takeover, is a profound blessing. And it's a profound blessing because God, in taking over our lives, God includes us in his sovereign plan for his glory. Amen? Okay. The next observation, you got that? You got that, Nathan? Yeah, good. Thank you, brother. The next observation I want to make Oh, by the way, Mary got this. Mary understood this. She understood what a blessing it was. It's called the Magnificat, actually, and it starts in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Everybody will know what a blessing it was for her to have her life taken over. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary got this. She knew that when the Holy Spirit came and that her life would be taken over in a profound way, she knew that it was a blessing. And she spoke it as a blessing. She prophesied. Point number two, or observation number two. And Hillary, we'll get you to hold this one, okay? And here it is. A Holy Spirit takeover is a profound challenge. A Holy Spirit takeover is a profound challenge. Now, I just finished saying it was a profound blessing. Why would I say it's a profound challenge? Because it is. Encountering the Holy Spirit challenges us in many ways. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to take over, to take what is His, really, our lives belong to the Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes to take over, it's a challenge to us because we have a will. We have plans. We have purposes. We know what we're going to do. And often the Lord comes in right across that, crosses our will, and doesn't even apologize. He doesn't need to say sorry for messing things up for you, but he's actually not messing things up. He's actually putting things together and putting us into his plans and purposes. So here we have Mary experiencing, let's just say, a challenge. It says here in the Word of God that when Mary heard the angel talk about, highly favored and God is with you and everything, it says she was greatly troubled. And you kind of get this idea of Mary going, "Oh, I wonder what the angel could mean. Here, he's called me these. I wonder what that is. The angel says you're going to have a baby. Oh, I wonder how that's going to happen." That's not at all what the tone of this is. When it says that she was greatly troubled, if you're going to try to use an English analogy to try to get across the idea, it would be that it blew her mind. It put her whole life in a washing machine and turned it on. Agitated. That's what the word means. That turned her world upside down. She was just engaged. If there's anyone here who remembers when they were just engaged, you're just waiting for that wedding. There's plans. You're waiting for your life to unfold. You're waiting for everything to happen according to your dreams. And this angel came and wiped it all away. It got worse as the conversation continued. After he greets her and she it blows her mind. What do you mean I'm highly favored of God? What does that even mean? I'm a little country girl. I don't know such things. I don't get such things. And then the angel goes on and makes it even worse. He says, "You're going to have a baby. And you're going to be with child. And when he's born, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. You're not going to name him Joseph," which is what they were supposed to do. That blew her mind even worse because it cut across her whole idea of what her future would look like. It greatly agitated her. It disturbed her. It challenged her. Not only was it, well, I mean, and just think about it. Like, when she's looking at this, she's saying, well, how can this be? How can it be? She's not just talking about having a baby without any biological reason for having a baby. She's not just talking about that. When she's saying, like, what? How can this be? The whole deal. Her whole life being turned upside down. Having a baby. Joseph, well, where's Joseph in all of this? Are they ever going to get married? What's going to happen? Is he going to turn from her? Is the whole village going to turn from her? No, that's a challenge. And anyone here who has experienced some degree, anyways, of a takeover of the Holy Spirit will know what I'm talking about. Crosses our will, crosses our plans, crosses our feelings. And it doesn't matter to the Lord that he's crossing these things, because he's going right in to get us and to put us into the center of his plans and purposes. So it's challenging to us. Okay. I thought I had it. I thought it was me, but maybe not. Challenging to us. Not only is it challenging to us, but when someone experiences a takeover of the Holy Spirit, everybody around them is challenged. It's not just them. If you think of Mary's example, Mary ended up, well, it's like she's saying, yeah, you're right, I'm pregnant. An angel told me that's the Holy Spirit whose birth the Savior of Israel is gonna be coming from me. Can you imagine what her family thought? Yeah, right. We know exactly what happened. That's not God. That's people. That's human. We know what's going on there. We know what's going on. Talks to the people in the village. They start to see that she's showing. We know what happened. She says that was God, but it's easy to see what that is. That's not God. Brothers and sisters, let's be very careful when we see people in the dealings of God, when we see people experiencing a takeover of the Holy Spirit, let's be very careful not to go, we know what that is. We know that's not God. Let's just be careful with that one. Let's reserve judgment. I mean, this is an extreme case with Mary, but it's the same Holy Spirit. He does crazy things in people's lives. And especially at the outset, it's hard to know whether that's the Lord or not. But then as time goes by, you can begin to see if the Lord has been working, if it's the Lord's takeover, you can begin to see that in people's lives. It's just not good to make a judgment like that based on what we are thinking we're seeing. Amen? So let's reserve judgment. So it's a profound challenge to us. It's a profound challenge to others. It was a profound challenge to Joseph. In fact, his plan was, he thought it was actually a pretty good plan. I don't want her being killed by the village, so I'm going to just put her away quietly. In other words, divorce her quietly. He knows it wasn't him, and he doesn't know what happened or who it was, but he figured the righteous, the merciful thing to do was just to divorce her quietly. He needed a Holy Spirit takeover in order to manage to get through it. God told him what he needed to do. You're not going to divorce her. You're going to marry her because she's telling the truth. He needed that encounter with the Holy Spirit to take his place in the plans of God. So, first point, Nathan, just the what is that first point about what a Holy Spirit takeover is? A Holy Spirit takeover is a... Thanks, just stop there for a second, because it's not the total review yet. And the second one, Hillary, have you got that somewhere in there? It's a profound challenge. Excellent. And there's two subpoints. It's a challenge to us, and it's a challenge to others when the Holy Spirit takes over. Okay, the third one. Where am I? Sam. Where's Sam? There you are, brother. Come on, here we go. The third point I want to make, or the third observation from this story, is a Holy Spirit takeover is profoundly permanent. It's profoundly permanent. A Holy Spirit takeover isn't something, I'm going to come to a meeting and I'm going to get all jazzed by the Holy Spirit. And then, okay, good, get up afterwards. Oh, crack, 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 I think I'll go. And then, you know, I'm going to come tomorrow. Same thing, down I go, up I go, down I go, up I go. And then unchanged otherwise. That's not an encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's some kind of encounter. But an encounter with the Holy Spirit leaves a mark on us. It leaves a mark that's permanent. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, that mark doesn't go away. It's for life. We are changed forever when we encounter the Holy Spirit of God. And Mary's life was like that. When the angel said, the Holy Spirit will hypercome you, will come upon you, will overtake you, will take over your life, that was complete and total. It didn't have an ending point. Oh, I had Jesus. Okay, I guess I just go on with my life now. Not at all. That takeover was for the rest of her life. And in Luke 1:38, Mary says, as her response, I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. What was she signing up for? Was she signing up to be a surrogate mother? Not just that. She was signing up for a lifetime of needing to consistently say, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Over and over and over, right to the very end of her life. When she said that, yeah, you're okay. I'll be the human mother of God. I'll be that. I will give up my plans. I will give up our wedding the way I wanted it to be. It had to be some little quiet thing. And I'll give up my plans for our plot of land and our the way our life will be. And it continued. How many times did Mary have to say to the Lord, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. As she gave birth to Jesus in harrowing circumstances, not even knowing where they were going to be able to have the baby, in the middle of the night somewhere, out in the open. First time she'd ever experienced anything like that. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Watching Jesus, watching these magi coming with gifts and laying them at his feet, and seeing Jesus, a little baby, worshipped as a king. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. All of a sudden having to get up in the middle of the night and flee to Egypt because there's people killing babies out there and they're actually looking for her baby. Rushing to Egypt. I'm the Lord's. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm the Lord's servant, and may it be to me as you have said. Coming back and becoming nobodies again, off in Galilee in the backwoods. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you said. Raising Jesus, you know, going through losing him as they went to Jerusalem on that day. Watching Jesus claim to be the Messiah. Watching Jesus become an enemy of the state. She's a mother. And her son is a wanted criminal. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Watching Jesus get arrested, watching Jesus be tortured and paraded through Jerusalem, humiliated, watching her son die right in front of her eyes in the most humiliating fashion that could be imagined. Watching him rise again. Watching him ascend to heaven. And then what? Living in the church, becoming obscure again, serving her God. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. So a Holy Spirit takeover is profoundly permanent. We can't be in a mindset when, you know, hey, you want to come and be touched by the Holy Spirit? We need to know what that means. We need to know what happened to people in the Word of God when they were touched by the Holy Spirit. Woohoo, I want to get touched by the Holy Spirit. Are you sure? Do you know what you're asking the Lord to do? If he comes with a Holy Spirit takeover, sure, take over my life. Come on, Holy Spirit. He'll come and he'll take over. And it will be a profound blessing. But you probably wouldn't see the blessing first. It would be a profound challenge. It would challenge you, it would rock your world. The Holy Spirit has the ability to rock our world. It will be a profound challenge for others. People will think you're nuts when sin starts dropping from your life and you start doing things that you'd never done before and you have vision to do things for the Lord that people don't get. And it'll be profoundly permanent. Sometimes we figure we're going to trip down the aisle and be touched by the Holy Spirit so we can like just feel better. And like I say, you get up and dust yourself off, and nothing much has changed. Actually, that's not what happens when we invite the Holy Spirit to come. It's an imprint that he makes that's for life. Where we find ourselves saying over and over and over again, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Where that becomes our motto for life. Because there's so many things that happen where we go, I didn't sign up for this. That's a Holy Spirit takeover. And I'm feeling the gravity of it as I'm talking, and I'm hoping that we all do, that we understand who it is we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the Spirit of God. And when he comes to take over, he takes over. So just in terms of review, Nathan, yeah, if you could just, whatever the first point was, and just explain it a little. I'll hold the mic.
A Holy Spirit takeover is a profound blessing. He's giving us a place in God's plan.
Excellent. That's perfect. Thank you. So it's a profound blessing. We're receiving a place in God's plan. And Hillary.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll read what's there. That a takeover, a Holy Spirit takeover, is a profound challenge. It's both a challenge to us and a challenge to others. Amen? Good. Thanks. Okay, and I'm looking for Sam. There you are, brother. Okay, point number three.
A Holy Spirit takeover is profoundly permanent. It leaves a mark on us, and it's for life.
Right. Excellent. Good. Thank you, brother. Very good. I am happy about that. Praise the Lord. So encountering the Holy Spirit is important for the church. It's important for us. It's good to look at this experience according to the Word of God so that we don't end up kind of flying into things that are disconnected from the Word of God, which can be dangerous. It's a baptism. Encountering the Holy Spirit is a filling. It's a takeover. And it's a profound blessing, a profound challenge for us and others, and it is for life. So my encouragement, because it's a blessing, is for all of us to eagerly seek to encounter the Holy Spirit. But it's with awe and reverence, understanding what he's capable of. Amen? Come on, Brad.
Sure. Rick, do you want to come up? Do you smell that soup? Oh boy, smells good. As Rob was preaching, I was asking the Lord how he wanted to apply this to us this morning, and I just felt like the Lord was really, really clear, and specifically, I feel like the Lord wanted to address those of us who specifically felt like we've been pretending with the Lord. You know that feeling you get when you feel like you're living, you're kind of going through the motions, and we all go through that in life at different points, right? Sometimes it can happen to us at the workplace or even in marriage where, you know, we've got these feelings on the inside that maybe what we're presenting outwardly isn't lining up with what's going on the inside. And I just feel like the Lord, when Rob kind of put his thumb on me, it felt like the Lord wanted to brand our identity with his Holy Spirit today. He wanted that. I think that's what was going on in Mary, right? As the Holy Spirit was coming upon her, something, she had all these ideas about her life. But until the Holy Spirit, and she encountered the Holy Spirit that day, it was all theory, it was all sort of in hopes and dreams. But that day it became a reality. Who she was deep inside was who the Holy Spirit was creating her to be and enabling her to be. And we need that, don't we? I don't know about you, but I don't want to just go through the motions in my walk with the Lord. I want the Holy Spirit to brand in my heart who I am in Christ as his son, as his daughter. I want to know that I know. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you want that today, I'm gonna ask Rick to lead us through a song. And if you want that today, just come on down and just seek the Lord together and just ask the Holy Spirit, take a step forward. Ask the Holy Spirit to just brand that in your heart today. Just take a step forward. And so if we could all stand together as we worship. And if you feel like coming forward as just an expression of Holy Spirit, I want to stop pretending. Just come on down.